The Ghost of Cow's Moose Past, written by Vanish Response, and read by Wilfriede0815. Fandom, The Locked Tomb. Rating, teen and up audiences. Archive warnings for graphic depictions of violence, major character death. Summary. John has a heart-to-heart with a cow. Rib bones jutted and curved upward among the grasses, femurs and fibula littering the ground, phalanges and ossicles scattered like pebbles amid the field. Human skulls grinned at John from where they lay amongst coccyxes, which ought to have led to an obscene joke, but instead led to more bones. All the bones came from the skeletons of adults and children and infants so small they must have just been born, and the sky above was the cerulean of an undestroyed sky. It was all very metaphorical. A cow came up to John. It towered over him. He had forgotten, in the ensuing myriad, how large a cow seemed up close. He would have been intimidated if he were not, in fact, God. "John," said the cow in a deep and sonorous voice, which had an echoing after-effect like a Gregorian chant or a ship transmitter with terrible reception. Its ears were almost the size of John's hands. Its eyelashes, long and curving, framed large, soulful eyes. "This is a shitty dream," John said. His words were a complaint, not yet a threat. He willed himself to wake up, but it didn't work. John sighed, resigned to spending time with a guilt-tripping, extinct animal. This was still better than the dreams he'd been having lately, at least. He had been dreaming of Mercy with her hands upon him, tears in her eyes as she tore every cell in his body asunder. He had dreamed of Augustine bringing him down into the river, how it had made him rage at the betrayal of a man dearer than a brother, struggle in fear because the river had been the one thing he had not known if he could survive. Sometimes, in his nightmares, Mercy and Augustine only looked at him disapprovingly, grieving and arrayed against him as they asked, "Lord, how could you?" But those dreams were no better, because inside those dreams he could never find an answer to satisfy them. There had been things they loved better than him, lines that they never would cross, and once they knew the question to ask, there was no answer that could satisfy them. He tried to rid himself of the dreams. He tried sex, drugs, and sleeping pills imported from the fifth house. He'd even tried imperial administration. It had all been no use. He was the emperor of the nine houses, and he feared going to sleep. So this really wasn't that shitty, in comparison. And at least he could see the sky of the earth, clear and bright above him. He had missed the sky. "John," the cow said again, "see what your works have brought you." "I'm not listening to a cow," John said. "That speciesist," the cow said. "Would it help if I talked in a different voice?"
Its voice became a human's outraged voice.
"Look at what you've done, John. You were supposed to save the world, not to ruin it."
The cow flew apart. Its blood and flesh and bone flew apart at terrifying velocity, shooting in all directions away from John. Shattered pieces of bone and horn and hoof joined the wreckage of humanity in the field, accompanied by small chunks of flying leather and viscera and fat, which landed on the ground like drops of explosive rain. John lowered his hand. The field was still. But then bone and meat and blood pulled themselves back together. Bone splinters knitted and became whole. Blood and muscle and fat and leather rearranged themselves into their original shape. The cow looked dolefully at him. There was still a crack in its horn, but even as John watched, it healed.
"You always liked Augustine better. Should I have used his voice instead?"
"Please don't," John said mildly. It still spoke in its own voice.
"Think of all that you have lost. What else will you stand to lose? Your child, your empire. Alecto is coming for you."
"Don't call her that." The response was automatic, even though he was talking to a cow.
"You won't let anyone call her by that name, but you lied to her and consigned her to the dark."
John did not want to talk about Annabelle. He thought about exploding the cow again. Then he sighed. "Look," he told the cow. "I see how this is supposed to go. You bring up all those things from my past, and in the privacy of my own mind, I admit that I have regrets.
I lied to my friends, I betrayed them, and I killed them. I killed 6 billion people and an entire world. Now I'm all alone, save for an empire that worships me and 2 children, one brimming with adolescent angst, the other brimming with ambition. And so I must repent, fall to my knees, rend my garments and weep. And then what? What happens after I repent? Tell me, what am I supposed to do? He had raised his voice without meaning to. It rang through the fields of bones and dream stuff, defiant and angry. The cow looked at him. Its brown eyes were sad and lost, the eyes of the terminally bullied, the eyes of a creature destined for the slaughterhouse. That had been what the activists hadn't understood. They'd blamed John for killing the cows, but the animals had always been born to die. So had everything else in this world, from cows to microbes to planets. John was the only exception, by the counsel of his own will, by the work of his hands. He was wearied, suddenly, by the conversation. Or more correctly, by the cow's silence. John laughed in bitter satisfaction. I didn't expect you to have an answer. He waved his hand, and the cow exploded again, shattering like a star of bone and flesh and blood. This time, it didn't come back. The end.